Luke chapter 8, I'd like to begin down with verse number 26. Luke 8 and verse number 26. It says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wearing no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that precious Word of God that we have here today. We thank you that the same God that changed this man's life can change any man's life. Dear Lord, we thank you that you saw fit to save our soul. Lord, if there should be one here today that does not know you as our Lord and Savior, I pray before this service ended, they'll come to know you and trust you and believe on you and receive you as their Savior. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to give our undivided attention to this passage of Scripture this morning. And Lord, we commit this service into your hand. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look back at verse number 35 as our text. "Then they that went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." There's one phrase there in that verse, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, have you ever taken a word or a phrase and searched out its meaning and how it's used in the Word of God? In fact, sometimes if you'll study and look up words in your concordance, you'll find out the same English word is sometimes translated different ways in different usages and in the context in which it was written. And it's an interesting study to see the lessons or truths we can find from this type of study. Now, the phrase "at the feet of Jesus," if you'll take that and look it up in your concordance, there's at least 17 times in the four Gospels that this little phrase is used. Just think for a few moments, what can this mean, at the feet of Jesus? Have you ever thought what it would be like to live in the time of Jesus? In your mind's eye, could you just go back and just say, "Boy, I'd like to go and just follow him around a little bit." I had the privilege in 2002, my wife and I going to Israel, and we walked where Jesus walked. And we had the places there. And I reckon the place other than the there on Golgotha and there at the tomb, but I love those places, but I love that place called Gethsemane. And when we kneeled there and prayed, I thought about, wonder if he kneeled and prayed right here under this tree. You know, have you ever thought about, I'd love to hear, I have heard Jesus teach and preach. I would love to have been there. And have you ever thought of how wonderful it would have been to see Jesus heal that blind man? Or raise the dead? Or, you know, how about that healing that leper? I'd love to have been there and seen him there. I often think about, I'd love to walk behind him, heard him, seen him, and fellowship with him, and prayed with him. But you know, I believe as we think on this thought, at the feet of Jesus, there we can learn many things. And first of all, we see it's a place of pardon. I won't ask you to turn there, but in Luke chapter 7, verse 38, it says, and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. And he had wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. This story in Luke chapter 7 took place in the home of Simon, who was a Pharisee. Simon had invited Jesus to his home for a meal. And now as they were eating, a woman who was a sinner came into the house and stood behind Jesus. And, you know, things were different in that day than they are today. When you have a guest to come to your house, does your neighbors come in and stand around the dining room, the walls there, and listen and watch and pay attention to what you are saying and doing? Now, that was a custom back in Bible times, that many times that the neighbors were. Now, you say, I got some nosy neighbors. Well, you know, in Bible times, that was kind of the way it was. They were not supposed to speak or talk or comment. They only watched. Now, this woman came in and took her place behind the Lord Jesus there. In those days, they didn't sit on chairs at the table like we do. They didn't have a lot of furniture in those houses. But a lot of times they would have a little couch that sat real low, or it might be a mat in those areas. You'd have a little mat, you'd recline, and you'd kind of, you know, your feet out behind you, and you'd talk, and, you know, and you'd eat like we do around our dining room tables today. And this was what was taking place there. And the Bible says that she stood by the feet of the Lord Jesus. She began to weep. And you know, she was weeping out of joy because her sins had been forgiven. And you know, and then her tears began to fall on the feet of the Lord Jesus. And then she saw that and realized that she took her hair and began to wipe the feet of Jesus. Then she kissed his feet. And then she anointed him with this precious ointment. Now, this Pharisee would not have spoken to this kind of woman on the street. He surely thought surely the Lord was not a prophet, or he would know what kind of woman this was. See, the Lord Jesus knew all about it. And he knew what this Pharisee was probably thinking. And our Lord told the Pharisee a story about two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And he turned and he said, their master forgave them both. Then he asked the question, which one of them do you think loved him the most? He said, I suppose the one who had been forgiven the most. And the Lord said, you rightly judged. Thank God, at the feet of Jesus is a place of pardon. You know, it doesn't matter how big or how small our sins are. It doesn't matter where you just, was speeding coming down the road to church this morning, or where you said something that you should not have said, or acted the way you should not have acted, or you killed a man, or you robbed a bank, or whatever it was. We're all sinners. And we're in the need of pardon. And He'll pardon one and all who come to Him. Hallelujah, what a Savior we do have. Amen. Think about the feet of Jesus. Not only was a place of pardon, but it was a place of healing. In Matthew 15, verse 30, it says, "And great multitudes came unto Him, having with them those that were lame and blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them." You know, in this passage and other gospel accounts, we find the multitudes of people who had all kinds of sickness and disease, and they came to Jesus, and they came to the feet of Jesus for one purpose. At that time, it was for healing. If you knew Jesus was going to be here at this service this morning, you had invited all your family and friends that had some illness or sickness or some problems to come today so that they might be healed, and that's what they did. They knew if they came to Jesus that He would not cast them out and that He would heal them. In fact, Jesus healed everyone who was brought to Him. You know, He didn't have not even one faith. That's different from the so-called faith healers that we have today. I remember when I was a teenager, we had a neighbor who was in an automobile accident and he was paralyzed from the neck down. And they had spent much and everything they had. They were very poor people. But I remember a certain faith healer came to Charlotte and was a Holy Crusade. And they were talking about on the TV and the radio about people, you know, being healed over there. So this family borrowed the money and hired an ambulance to take him to Charlotte so he could be healed. You know, he came back the same way he went to Charlotte, paralyzed the next day. I've never heard of any of these faith healers today that raised the man that was paralyzed. I never heard of the faith healers who's raised the dead or gave sight to a man who had never saw with his eyes. At the feet of Jesus was a place of healing. But not only their physical infirmities, but also their souls. Not only at the feet of Jesus is a place of healing, but also it's a place of learning. We can learn at the feet of Jesus. Luke 10:39 says, "And she," talking about Martha, "had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." From this passage of Scripture, Luke 10, we find the Lord as He comes to a certain village, and He had some friends there, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And they invited Him to the house and to begin to prepare a meal for Jesus. And now Mary had undoubtedly probably helped her sister some in preparing the meal, but when you come to this verse of Scripture, we find her sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to His teaching. Now, Martha, probably, she was frustrated, to say the least. And she said, "Lord, why don't you get on to my sister and tell her to come in here and help me get lunch ready?" You know, that's kind of the way, probably what she said, or the way she said it. But Jesus taught her a lesson here. And you know, that lesson is applicable to us today. You know, it's good to serve the Lord, and we should. But there comes a time that we need to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus and let Him speak to us and meditate on the Word of God and spend time reading and studying the Scriptures and learning what He wants to teach us. You know, when Jesus teaches us a lot of things, when we slow down and have to listen. He teaches us some lessons sometimes. And you know, the key is to have the right priorities. Now, Jesus Christ ought to come first in all of our lives. He ought to be number one. And then we ought to be thinking of others in our self life. Someone said joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And you know, at the feet of Jesus, we need to spend some time every day just getting the Word of God down and reading the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to us. And you know, I pray every time I open the Scriptures. I did it this morning. When I got up this morning, I got up and went into my study and got the Bible open, and I said, Lord, speak to my heart. I want to hear from you today. And you know, unless we meet Christ personally and privately every day, we'll soon end up like Martha, busy, but not blessed. At the feet of Jesus, a place of pardon, a place of healing, a place of learning, but there's also a place of prayer. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 says, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death, and listen to this, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He said, Lord, I pray. I've been praying. I want you to come and heal my little daughter. When Jairus came to Jesus, he fell at his feet. You know, he wanted an answer to prayer. And there's times in every one of our lives that we need prayer. Someone says, I need your prayer and you need to pray. No, that goes for all of us, does it not? We need to pray, and we need to pray one for another. And you know, it's always good to come, good time to come to the feet of Jesus in prayer. And no matter what that need may be, he's always willing to listen to our prayers. I know when my kids finished high school, they all went off to college. Every Sunday night when we get home from church, my wife and I listen for the phone to ring. Is Becky going to call tonight? David going to call tonight? David going to call? And you know, we listen for the call. They didn't have cell phones back then, and they'd have to go to the pay phone, and they'd say, would you accept a collect call from... You parents know all about that. You know, but we look forward to hearing from our children. And don't you think our Heavenly Father doesn't look forward to hearing from us each and every day? He wants us to call upon Him and look to Him and depend on Him. He delights in hearing and answering our prayers. So when you have a need in your life, take the Lord in prayer. Not only do we find at the feet of Jesus a place of pardon, a place of healing, a place of learning, and a place of prayer, but we also find there's a place of thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? The Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verse 16, it fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. In the context of this verse, we have 10 men who were lepers. Leprosy was an incurable disease. Leprosy meant death. And the people who had leprosy were outcast to society. In fact, they were supposed to put a mask over their face like we would have today. We go to the hospital, you know, somebody has a flu or cold or something like that. But they have a mask and they would cry, unclean, unclean. But those 10 men heard that Jesus was coming. And I believe they stood out and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And we see here that that Jesus was coming by. And it said, though, but this one man, but there's 10 of them. And what did Jesus tell them to do? He told them, he said, you go and show yourself to the priest, and you'll be healed. Can you see these 10 men heading to the priest? And brother, they were excited. And they, one of them looked down and said, hey, I got all 10 fingers, because members of your hands and feet would just fall off. I mean, your fingers and toes and all. And they said, hey, I got 10 fingers now. And others said, I have two. And they looked, they were healed, they were clean, they were whole. But one of them turned around and went back. And he fell at the feet of Jesus in thanksgiving, and thanking God for healing him. Not only did this man receive healing, but he received salvation too. The scripture says, brother, he got a double dose. I mean, he got a good dose of it. He was enjoying this newfound life that he had living within him. So we see that this man, feet of Jesus, was a place of thanksgiving. Thinking about at the feet of Jesus also, as I read in Luke 8:35, says, then they that went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. That's the story of the demoniac Gadara. After he met Jesus, Jesus cast out the demons. We find him sitting at the feet of Jesus, and it said he had his right mind, and he wore clothes. That tells something, huh? Well, some of them today need to know Jesus, don't they? They don't have enough clothes on, okay? I'll just leave it at that. But you know that whenever you meet Jesus and accept him, there's something happens. Your life is different. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And not only was he thankful for it, and not only did he come to him and sit at his feet and he was resting there, he had his right mind. At the feet of Jesus, there's a rest for weary souls. You ever just get so weary, you just don't know what to do? Maybe we just need to fall at Jesus' feet and rest a little bit. Come aside and rest, the Lord says. You know, I've been like the Energizer Bunny. I've always been going about 90 miles an hour all the time. I still try to do that, but I can't do it anymore. After 75 years, you know, you can't do quite what you once did. It's hard for me to realize. And I've been having some trouble with my breathing, shortness of breath. And they've been running all kinds of tests. And they said, preacher, your heart's great and your lungs seem to be good, but you got a problem. I said, yeah, I know I got a problem. But he said, you're doing great to be 3/4 century old. And they told me the other day, he said, why don't you just slow down a little bit? I go to the gym, and because the doctors told me to, I need exercise. And so I go 3 or 4 days a week. And she said, how fast do you go on that treadmill? I said, 3.5 miles an hour. She said, slow down a little bit. How fast do you go on that bicycle? And I told her, she said, slow down just a little bit. You know, you don't need to be going quite that fast. We need to rest a little bit and listen to Jesus. And you know, we read over in the book of Hebrews about an eternal rest. And then we take and read in the book of Revelation about being with Jesus forever and ever. Now, I don't think we're going to just be up there laying back and, you know, on a lounge or a recliner and just resting like that all the time. Because I believe in the Bible it talks about we're going to be serving him. But I tell you, we won't be getting tired like we do today. And, you know, and we're going to be with him forever and forever. And we don't have to, heaven, there's no night there. So we don't even have to sleep if we didn't want to. And think about being at the feet of Jesus, also a place of comfort. You know, John 11:32, and when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. I can just see that picture. He said, Lord, if you'd have just been here, Lord, I know you could have healed him. Lord, why didn't you come earlier? I mean, that's what she's saying there. We have, in this chapter of John, we see the account of the death of Lazarus, and Jesus had met Martha, and she cried, if you've been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus told her, said, your brother's going to live again. And she said, I know at the last day he's going to live. And Jesus told him there, I am the resurrection and the life. And Mary came on the scene, and she said the same thing, but Jesus brought comfort to her heart and life. Jesus wept with them. You know, it's all right to weep with people. I went to a funeral yesterday. There was some weeping because, you know, we lost our loved one, our friend. But, you know, he accepted Christ as Savior as a teenager. And the preacher says, and I know that, you know, David's up there rejoicing today. And, you know, I don't believe it'll be long before we're going to see him again. And, you know, there were some smiles over that family's face. And I think whenever Mary, Martha, you know, Jesus wiped the tears. He wept with them, but yet he had that stone rolled away. And he commanded Lazarus, come forward. What a comfort. He who was dead is alive. Oh, I love that passage, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither I goest, and how can we know the way? And oh, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, he brought comfort to their hearts. That's probably one of the most comforting passages that's in the scriptures today, and that we've used it hundreds and thousands and ten thousands of times in services like that. There is comfort in knowing the Lord is our Savior. You know, if I don't get home today, I'm talking about my physical home. I'm going to be home with Jesus. Amen. And you know, I told our church there at Calvary, I said, you know, listen, don't weep over me. I'm going to be up there kicking up gold dust. I'm going to be rejoicing. Because, you know, there's comfort in knowing that we're going to heaven, that our loved ones are going to heaven. I told someone not long ago at a funeral service I had, I said, you know, I'm getting up a load to go, and I want you to go with me. I left you, if you don't know Christ, to go with me too. There's comfort in knowing Jesus as our personal Savior. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only life. Salvation is in Him, Him alone. Won't you come to the feet of Jesus this morning? You know, it's a place of pardon. It doesn't matter what we've done. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when we come to Him and fall on our face before Him and confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's a place of healing. I know my dad had Alzheimer's. By the last 3.5 years of his life, my sisters and I had to stay with him. We hired a lady in the daytime, and we stayed 16-hour days with him. But you know, He's got a good mind, man. He didn't heal him down here, but he healed him up there. He's whole today. That's the thing about it, you know. At the feet of Jesus, a place of learning. We can learn something from him. I don't care how much you've studied the scriptures and how long you've been a Christian. And I've been saved 63 years now. But you know, I still got a lot to learn. We can learn something, a place of learning. It's a place of prayer. We can go to him anytime, any place, any day, and he will hear and he will answer our prayers. It's a place of thanksgiving. Brother, we just talked about, you know, just thankful I got up today. That, you know, I was able to eat. I was able to get in my automobile and drive down here. I'm just thankful. You know, a place of thanksgiving. It's at the feet of Jesus is a place of rest. That we just say, Lord, I can't do it anymore, but you can. Lord, I need your help and a place of comfort. What does at the feet of Jesus mean to you? What does it mean to you this morning? Let us pray. I wonder this morning as we come the invitation time, there's someone here who says, Brother Fry, I'm not sure if I die that I'll go to heaven, but preacher, would you remember me in prayer? Is there one like that? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but would you pray for me? Is there one like that? Just slip it up. Just between me and you and the Lord, but say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I die, I go to heaven. Is there one like that? Maybe God spoke to your heart about something this morning. Maybe there's a need in your life. You say, preacher, God spoke to my heart, and I need to get at his feet. I need to go to him in prayer more. I need to get in his word more. I need to rest upon him more. You know, the Lord spoke to my heart today, and preacher, would you remember me in prayer? Is there any like that this morning? Slip in. God bless you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and yes, you, and God bless you. Let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that at your feet there's pardon, there's comfort, there's healing, there's learning. There's those things that we need today, and we pray for each of these that raise their hand. Oh God, I pray that you'll just meet those needs and that we'll get at your feet fellowship with you. Oh, what we can learn. Lord, if there should be one in this number today that does not know you as our Lord and Savior, I pray, oh God, that we have the invitation. They'll come. Someone will show them the Word of God, how to be saved. Know it. Lord, have your way. This invitation time now. In Christ's name.